Some of our older crowd here probably remembers sitting down to watch a particular movie, Charlton Heston, The Ten Commandments. That was one of the movies that back when I was young, I think really had a big effect on me. To see that fireball up on the mountain come out of somewhere and hit that rock, and then all of a sudden there's writing on the rock. For me, that was, at that age, was kind of scary. It was kind of scary to watch that episode or that movie. And well, we are in Leviticus, and we're kind of around that time. But we've got two different words I'd like us to think about right off, and that is, and I don't know if I even got the pronunciation right on this. This is a Hebrew word, and it's Shavuot. Shavuot, I think, is how it's pronounced. Shavuot. And that is a day that the Jewish people celebrate God giving Moses the law upon the mount. Shavuot. There's another word that's more familiar to us, and that's Pentecost. Pentecost, the word itself means 50th. If you were to just look at simply at that word and break it down, it means 50th. And what I'm going to be preaching on tonight is a lesson on leaven. And so we're going to be learning about leaven. So you could say that we're going to be, we're going to leaven learn. But I had to throw that pun in there. I worked on that one. But leaven learn. We're going to do that tonight. But before we get started, let's bow and pray. Lord, we thank you for your holy word. And it is amazing, Lord, and how you have so much, so rich a text for us to learn from about who you are and what you've done from us. And Leviticus is no different. And even this study on leaven is amazing. Lord, I pray that you would anoint this time, that you would teach us, Lord, from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we're going to get started here, and the title then is A Leaven Lesson. A Leaven Lesson. That's what we're going to talk about. A Leaven Lesson. And our 3 points are a principal explanation. A principal explanation of leaven. Principal explanation of leaven, a peculiar exception. We're going to find out about a peculiar exception about what we think about leaven, and then a perfect plan. We're going to see it all come together, hopefully. And so we'll get started with this principle. We see here we have a principal explanation of leaven. What is it? What is leaven? You know, we hear about leaven. Well, It's commonly been, it can be other things, but it's commonly been yeast. What is yeast? Well, yeast is an active substance in fermentation. It's something that when you put it into dough, it starts to, and you warm up the dough a little bit, not too much, but you mix it in, you warm it up, then this yeast starts to ferment in your bread. That's really what's happening. And that fermentation that's taking place causes little gas bubbles in there. And so what it does, with this little leaven all over in there, you get these little gas bubbles, and what it does is it causes this whole thing to rise. And then you turn the oven on, get it heated up, and you put that bread in the oven, and the bread then bakes, and it it's more firm than it was as kind of this doughy, plasticky kind of substance. And there you have bread. You cut it, and as you cut, you see all these little circles and stuff. That is the little gas pockets that were created by the yeast. So that's what leaven is. And it, other things can be used for leaven, but we'll just leave it at that. So what it is, what it's for, we describe that. It is used usually to raise bread. And then we have, why is it in the text? Why is it in God's holy scriptures? Well, if we just take a real common interpretation of leaven in the Old Testament, right away a negative connotation comes into our mind. That it's something that is a contamination. Because the way that God approaches leaven, he says, don't let any leaven get into your bread. I think there's even portions of the scripture that says, and if you let this happen, that person will be cut off from Israel. And so God is real particular in making sure that the Levites don't allow this to happen in some of the ceremonies and so forth, that leaven is not supposed to be used in history. As the scripture puts it in Exodus, they didn't have time to get the leaven into the dough. They were hurried out the door, and they were making their exodus. But God says that when they're preparing these different sacrifices and so forth to have unleavened bread. And so we have the why. We talked about the what and what it's for. There's also something here that is in the why of the text that I want you to think about. It's a hidden ingredient. Can you see leaven? Not really. Not once it's in the bread. If you've made bread before, you mix up this little mixture and it stinks. This little yeast mixture, and you get it all dissolved and stuff, and then you mix it into the bread. But once it's in the bread, I have no idea that yeast is in there. Not until it starts to take an effect in the bread do I know that it's in there. And so this is a phrase that I want you to remember. A hidden and an invisible influence. It has a hidden and invisible influence. That will be important for a couple points from now. Once spread in the dough, it cannot easily be removed because it's so small, and once you mix it, it's really become an admixture, is the term I put on this. You have the dough by itself, but then when you put the yeast in and you knead it into the dough, there's no way to get that back out of there again. It's an admixture. It has become a new substance, and it has new characteristics. That dough now has new characteristics to it that it didn't have before. How is it used in Scripture? We have a few places that I want us to review because I'm going to challenge some of our thinking on what leaven is all about. Matthew 13:33, another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid. There's that invisible kind of idea. And hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. So this text, this particular text, looks a little bit different than what we're used to thinking about in the Old Testament about, ooh, there should not be any leaven in anything. It's a contaminant. We also have Matthew 6:16. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Okay, now there's one that we're a little bit more used to. And in another text, it goes a little bit, embellishes on that. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Okay, so this is a little bit more of this idea of, ooh, this is bad stuff. But, okay. there seems to be this kind of a dichotomy or this, okay, we've got one definition of it, and then we've got another definition of it. Well, which one's right? Well, they're both right. And that's where this phrase that I've got, an invisible influence. It may be an invisible influence for good, and may be an invisible influence for bad, but it is an invisible influence. And that's, I think, a key to what we're going to be looking at here. Remember, the leaven is an invisible influence. So then my next point here, so we've looked at a principal explanation of leaven. Now we're going to look at a peculiar exception. As we look at the Levitical textbook for the Levites and how they're to perform things, there's a particular text that's different about leaven. Verse 17 in Exodus 23 says, "Ye shall bring out of your habitations two wave loaves of 2/10 deals, and they shall be of fine flour, and they shall be baken with leaven." That's really strange. You don't find that in the text in other places. It always says, shall be unleavened cakes. But here, we have it saying, shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. I'm going to spend some time on trying to work on this, on this leavened cake. It stands out as a peculiar exception in the text. And in order to do that, let's go and look at a little bit of background. We're going to look at some of these feasts. We're going to talk just a little bit about a couple of the feasts. What are some of the feasts that it's talking about here in chapter 23 of Leviticus? It's talking about the Passover feast. And then what follows after that is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Well, let's fill in. What's the Passover about? Remember, the angel of death came into Egypt and passed over those houses that had the blood put on the doorposts. And where did the blood come from? It came from a holy lamb, a pure and innocent lamb was the blood. And the type there is that was like Christ's blood. And so when we make this jump for us as Christians, we see that blood as Christ's blood. And the Jewish people celebrate that Passover feast without understanding that point. They just remember that the angel of death passed over them. We see it in a different light. Okay, so we have that feast. Then we have the Feast of Unleavened Bread that follows after that. And what can we say about the unleavened bread? Here, I think what it represents is holiness. And it's why it's so important to God that they don't put any admixture into the leaven. Because the leaven itself then would make it polluted. It would no longer be holy. What's the parallel here? Is that Christ was not mixed with fellowship of man. It says in the scripture that he knew what was in man. He didn't need anybody to tell him about man because he already knew what was in man. That's in the book of John, the Gospel of John. And Jesus Christ was perfect and holy. And John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." He was that holy Lamb of God. He was that unleavened cake. In communion we talk about Jesus says, "Take, eat, for this is my body broken for you." What is that? That's a little cake. It's a little flat cake. It's a little piece of unleavened cake, like a cracker. And Jesus is likening that unleavened cake to himself, something holy. And he says, "This is my body, which was broken for you." So this, I believe, is the symbology or the analogy or the allegory that we're supposed to see on the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, is that's Christ, the perfect sacrifice, that perfect body for us. So we got the Passover, the lamb that was sacrificed, the unleavened bread, and then what do we go? We go from there to You shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when ye come into the land which I give unto you, ye shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord and be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. Well, just to fill in for you, these are sequential. These events here are sequential. You have the Passover, you have the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, and then this day that this sheaf is waved is on the morrow. That's on the next day. And it's what it's to symbolize is the beginning of the first fruits of the harvest for the people. They're supposed to take this sheaf before they take anything from the harvest. They're supposed to bring this before the Lord and wave it before the Lord. The symbology that we have there is that Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. He was raised on Sunday, the first day of the week. This is Christ here, the first fruits that's risen from the grave. There's nobody else that's been risen from the dead. All right, so stay with me here because this is really good. Now what we see is there's a time that goes by. This wave offering happens, and then there's a time that's described here. And ye shall offer that day when ye have wave the sheaf and he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering to the Lord. Let's see, where does it talk about? It talks about the 7 weeks. Okay, 7 weeks will go by after this waving of the sheaf. There's this particular time in this particular feast that goes by. So for you youngings, I want you, what is 7 times 7? Because you've got 7 weeks. 7 weeks is 7 times 7 equals 49, right? 49. And, okay, so this is for the real young ones. But and then if you add 1 day to that 49, you get 50. And that's where Pentecost, the word Pentecost, comes from. The 50th day. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He was with the disciples for 40 days. And then he ascended into heaven. He told them to go in the upper room and wait. Not very long. And then he talked about the promise would come. And then we hear in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, about the day of 50th, Pentecost, the day of 50th. 40 days he was with the disciples, 10 days later, it's the 50th day from the day that he rose from the grave, the first fruits, the wave offering before God, and now these tongues of fire come and they come and they set on these believers, and they are baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's what Pentecost is. That's what the meaning of Pentecost is. I never really understood before. 50 days after Jesus rose from the grave is when Pentecost happened, when this Holy Spirit came upon the disciples. So I've skipped already. I've skipped into, we were in the peculiar exception, and now I'm in a perfect plan. We have a Passover lamb, an unleavened bread, speaking of a holy work of God, no admixture. We have Jesus Christ, who was the first fruit from the dead, and then on the morrow, then it talks about 7 weeks and a day is a Pentecost. That's when Shavuot happens too. The same day that the Jews celebrate the giving of the Ten Commandments, God gives the Ten Commandments to Moses, is the same day, the Pentecost. They both happen on the same day. All right, so we've said all of this. Let's tie it together. We're coming back to the leavened cake. Why is it that God put leaven, told them to put leaven in this cake? That would be polluted. But remember, maybe this is this peculiar difference It's just talking about a hidden effect. As I said, an invisible influence. Isn't the Holy Spirit an invisible influence? Can you see the Holy Spirit? No, a rushing and a mighty wind they heard, and then the tongue, the flames of fire they saw, and then it rested on them. But after that, they didn't see anything. What is it that God says in the Old Testament? Jeremiah, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts. That's the leaven. And write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. I believe that this scripture is talking about the day of Pentecost, where this invisible influence comes upon them. So it's not a negative thing in this case. This is what I believe. There's other people, as I've looked at that, they think that this leaven here is just talking about the sin which is in the church, which is true and prevalent in our day. There is sin in the church. But that's not God's work. That's our work. That's not God's plan. That's our plan. I believe here that this wave offering before the Lord of this leavened cake is talking about how that the Holy Spirit, these two leavened cakes it's talking about. Well, could that be the two tablets that he's talking about? Or maybe it's the two groups, the Jews and the Gentiles, that the Holy Spirit comes upon. And these are being waved before the Lord as a good thing. And the work of the Passover, we're not involved in that. There's no admixture in the work of salvation. But the work of evangelization, we're very involved, right? God wants us to go. And he wants us to be involved and to go out. How is it that we can do that? Well, he says that we have been endowed. We will be endowed, it says. It talks about you and the Holy Spirit, the promise will come to you. And you're to go out and to preach. I believe this is this leavened cake that's talking about in Leviticus on Pentecost, the 50th day. It all comes together. It's an amazing thing. Leviticus is amazing for a numbers person like me. It's like you see all these things coming together. It all fits. Christ's resurrection, 50 days go by, and then this wave offering of this great thing that's happened now that God dwells with man. And there's this admixture, this invisible influence now that's inside us. We can't necessarily tell somebody about this influence, and they're not necessarily going to believe it. They're going to look at our lives, right? They're going to see if we live differently. That's what's going to make the difference. We are an epistle known and read by all, and it's this invisible influence that really does the work. God now has come and dwelt with man. Well, that's really the punchline to this message. And so what can we draw? What kind of conclusion can we draw from this? I have three. We are greatly valued with Christ. The work that he has done has allowed it, made it possible for us to dwell with God. Before he had to be in the tabernacle. Now he tabernacles with man. And it's within the lump. The Holy Spirit is now within us. It's not about us, but it's within us. A marvelous thing. It's hard to understand. Remember, we are greatly valued. That God would love us in this way and desire to take his abode up in us. To take up that abode in us. We have great work to do. If he's put this within us, you know, it'd be like an engine without a drive shaft. That doesn't make sense. You know, rev up the engine, vroom, vroom, not go anywhere because there's no drive to the rear wheels. We've got to connect. And we need to use what the Lord has given us. We need to put it in drive and make use of the talents that the Lord has placed upon us. And thirdly, with God's law written in our hearts, we should guard from all other admixture. So here's the other definition of leaven. A a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And if we allow sin in the world to become an admixture in us, it's hard to get out. It's hard to remove how it mixes in. It talks in the scripture here about purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Talking about this purity that we have. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So here it's taking this pure look at how we ought to be pure before God. So remember those three points. And God is so good that he's put us into that position. And he wants us to be useful for him. And that he's come and dwelt among us is a wonderful and marvelous thing. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this example, this peculiar example. It stands out among the book of Leviticus. All of a sudden we see leavened cake, not an unleavened cake. And so there's something that's happening here. And truly, at Pentecost, Lord, you, your hidden influence came inside the disciples and took up abode with them. Help us, Lord, to remember that we also have this influence in us and that we need to be pure and holy unto you and be useful, Lord, that we might be useful vessels for you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.